Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
An Erio's original.
Hello, and welcome to Web Crawlers, the podcast where we do a deep dive into some of our favorite unsolved mysteries. Each week, we will introduce our topic, lay out our research and findings, reveal some conspiracy theories, and conclude with our own hypothesis. Who knows, we might even solve the case. I am Allie Siegel.
I am Melissa Stettin.
And I'm producer Maria.
Web Crawlers has a Patreon. To get access to rewards, bonus episodes, shout outs, merch discounts, please go to patreon.com/webcrawlers. You can donate as little as $2 a month to become one of our bimbo patrons. Also, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you give us a 5-star review, screenshot and DM it to us, and we will shout you out on the podcast. And also, we will probably shout you out anyway on our mini mailbag episode because we check. and we appreciate it. Melissa, who are our new patrons? We have a few.
We've got Hannah R., Ian K., Mariah R., Ursula K., Tony S., Maria, MJ Beck, and Jenna M.
Do you think that's Tony Soprano?
Tony Soprano and Ursula from Little Mermaid.
And Maria, is that Maria you? Are you a patron yet? Or
no. And I never will be. You'll never be able to get me over there.
Cool.
But I'm gonna say to the listeners, if you're not patrons, you're dead to me.
Awesome. Okay, great. I'm super excited for our episode today. It was a little mini Patreon episode where I read some articles that I found and people seemed into it, so I thought that I would make a full episode of it. Also, it's very like apropos, if that's the right word.
Yes, it is. That word is apropos.
Yes, to the podcast. We're in a hot political climate right now, just like a hotbed, you know, election news and all this, you know, stuff going on. And I thought, what better topic than to discuss Washington, D.C.?
Uh-oh.
Am I echoing?
It's gone now.
Oh my God. Well, this episode is about ghosts, and maybe that was a...
I took one of my ear pods out, so it might have been that.
No, that was a ghost, Maria. Don't ruin this for everyone. Shut up, Maria. Anyways, this episode is about how Washington, D.C., and specifically the White House, is haunted.
As hell.
While it might seem pretty obvious that the White House is emotionally and politically haunted, especially right now, did you know that it is also allegedly haunted by ghosts? Ooh. Ghosts of former presidents, first ladies, pets, children, and staff workers. Huh. Michelle and Barack Obama reported hearing strange noises in the hallway and feeling a gnawing at their feet.
What?
Yes. Jenna Bush told none other than Kelly Clarkson that she claimed she heard piano music coming out of her fireplace.
What?
I know. Buckle up. Mary Todd Lincoln held seances in the Red Room in attempts to channel the dead.
Oh, God.
Are you guys ready to get into the haunted history of Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good. I wanted to hear a yes. Amen. Let's get into it. The White House is haunted as hell, and it's not only nutcases who believe it. Nutcases like me. Even President William Howard Taft's main military aide, Major Archibald Butt,
wrote his sister. Major Butt is his name.
Okay, so even Howard Taft's military aide, Major Butt, wrote to his sister Clara, "It seems that the White House is haunted. The ghost, it seems, is a young boy. From its description, I should think about 14 or 15 years old. They say that the first knowledge one has of the presence of the thing is a slight pressure on the shoulder, as of someone were leaning over your shoulder to see what you might be doing."
Huh.
In 2009, Michelle Obama was answering questions. I think it was like from kids. And they were like, one of the kids was like, "Is the White House haunted?" And Michelle Obama said that she and Barack would be awakened by loud noises coming from the hall. And when they would investigate, they would find nothing but complete silence.
Wait, she told that to a kid?
Yeah, and then the kid killed himself.
Like if a kid is like, "Is the White House haunted, Mrs. President?"
Well, actually, Timmy, it is.
It's very much so. And it's
that's
terrifying.
A crazy thing.
There's dead people, honestly, everywhere.
That's cool that she did that.
I know. That's it is cool. Legit it's cool. So sick. So the first ghost who haunts the White House the most is good old Honest Abe, Abraham Lincoln. According to history.com, and we'll get into this in a second, Lincoln, who is believed to have attended only two of the seances held by his wife in the White House, actually foresaw his own death more than once, including in a dream he had shortly before he was killed.
Whoa.
So I don't know if like Abe was attending these seances and having these like premonitions and like predicted his own death. I don't know if he was like a psychic or like a super empath or something, but something was up with Abe Lincoln. And now apparently he is just the most common ghost in the White House. So Abe is the most prominent. And apparently he shows up when the world is in like a time of need. So Lincoln's ghost has been seen by Grace Coolidge, the wife of President Calvin Coolidge, standing at the window of the Oval Office. Lincoln has also been seen by Lady Bird Johnson. She was watching a documentary about Abe Lincoln's death and in that moment felt his presence very strongly in her bedroom.
Ooh.
Which is horny.
It is.
And another horny Abe Lincoln sighting is British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who visited the White House more than once during World War II, told a story about emerging naked from his evening bath, smoking his customary cigar, only to find a ghostly Lincoln sitting by the fireplace in his room.
Whoa.
Yeah. You're telling me. So Lincoln apparently just visits presidents when they need help and also like when they're getting out of the bath is his vibe. Then Andrew Jackson is another president whose spirit is apparently like still trapped in the White House. Andrew Jackson is the angriest president to haunt the White House.
Oh.
Holding grudges because he lost his first election. I guess he ran twice and he lost the first time and won the second time. God knows I'm not good at politics, but I guess he was like real bitter that he lost the first time. Mary Todd Lincoln said that she could hear Andrew Jackson stomping and swearing through the halls of the White House, cursing invisible staff members out.
Whoa.
And yes. And the Rose Room where Jackson resided is apparently the most haunted room in the White House.
The Rose Room.
How mad could you be? You're on money. You know what I mean? Like you made
he's
it.
On the,
like
yeah, he's on money.
But what dollar is he on though?
Isn't he on the $20 bill?
Maybe he wants to be on the hundo.
Those are the Benjamin. That's Benjamin.
Dollar. And he wasn't even a president. That's probably why he's so mad. Because yeah. He's like, why does Ben Franklin get to be on the 100?
He's just walking around being like, fuck this shit.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be funny if like he left $20 bills everywhere?
I mean, no, that'd be tight.
That'd be cool.
And then this one is actually my favorite haunting in the White House. And it is David Burns. Okay, so David Burns was forced to give up his land rights so that the White House could be constructed.
Oh, Asher's pissed.
He's fucking steamed. According to history.com, a lesser known early White House personality who has said to haunt the halls was David Burns, who sold the government most of his land on which the city of Washington, including the presidential residence, was built. I like what is out there?
Well, maybe he's trying to warn you about maybe Andrew Jackson's there doing something.
That's true.
The spirit of Andrew Jackson is an Asher.
Andrew is just there throwing 20s outside my house. Just making it rain 20s outside.
I know. God, could you imagine? Everyone would be summoning him.
That's what we should have a seance for. Yeah. So Lillian Rogers Parks, a seamstress who chronicled her 30-year career working in the White House in a 1961 memoir, told the story of a valet to President Franklin D. Roosevelt who reportedly heard a disembodied voice coming from the distance in the yellow oval room saying, "I'm Mr. Burns." During Harry S. Truman's administration, a guard heard a similar voice, thinking it was then Secretary of State James Burns. He went looking for him, only to learn that the secretary hadn't been at the White House that day.
Huh.
They keep hearing voices saying, "I'm Mr. Burns."
maybe it's Mr. Burns from the Simpsons.
Yeah. So this guy is really upset that he gave up his land for cheap and then they built the White House on it in like most of Washington, D.C. And now he's just like haunting the White House.
Yeah, I bet he is.
I'm still here.
And I like how he's just introducing himself over and over again. Like people are walking by him and he's like, I'm Mr. Burns. And people are like, we don't care.
He's like, I own this land.
Yeah, everyone's like, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, yes, one I do. Does not matter to anyone. This one is crazy to me. And it's a demonic cat, which I had not heard of at all. See, here's the thing. Most of these I believe. This one I don't.
Okay.
And you guys can tell me what you think. Okay. So then there's also apparently a demonic cat. Okay. Here's the thing is that there's a big window in my living room and every time someone walks by, Asher just goes nuts.
That's good though, that he's protecting you.
Or he's saying, help, help.
Yeah. Mom, help.
Mom's telling scary stories again. Help, mom thinks she's a podcaster. Okay. There is also a demonic cat ghost that allegedly haunts all of the government buildings in Washington. And it was seen before the stock market crash and before Kennedy was assassinated. It like kind of has a similar vibe to Mothman, where like before bad thing, it's like a harbinger.
You want me to look up how it's pronounced?
Yeah,
Maria, could you help me out?
Oh boy,
this is how you say it.
Pussy magnet.
Did you hear it
one more time?
Pussy magnet.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's what I thought. So it's a bit of a pussy magnet of doom. This is what it says about it on the internet. So the story of the demon cat dates back to the mid-1800s. When cats were brought into basement tunnels of the United States Capitol to kill rats and mice. Legend has it that the demon cat is one of these cats that never left after it died. Its home is apparently the basement crypt of the Capitol building, which was originally intended as the burial chamber for President George Washington.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's like, George Washington was supposed to die here. Like, I'll do it instead.
I'd love to get a map of the underground tunnels. I know they go into them in National Treasure, right? Don't they go under the into underground tunnels under the White House? But I'd love to see them. Like, I just love to get a good look at what goes on under that White House.
Did you guys ever watch the show Ghost Rider?
No.
No.
Well, never mind them. Will they do an episode about underground tunnels in New York?
Oh.
Oh. Well, you know, there's that, which obviously we don't agree with, but there's that weird QAnon theory that of the mole kids.
The mole kids, yeah.
Oh,
mole
no.
Mole kids and demon cats.
Where the coronavirus is a hoax to get everyone to stay inside their house so that they can finally rescue the mole children from all the underground tunnels.
This was all for the mole children, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, because who cares?
Me too. They should just stay down there. Well, allegedly they're sex slaves, but
I don't want that. But if they're just kids that are half mole, I think of them as like half moles.
Half mole.
Yeah, hunched over. Mm-hmm. Like you turn on a light and they look really quickly, you know, and then they scurry away. That's what I
was. They can stay underground. So yeah, underground tunnels, mole kids, demon cats. So according to the legend, the cat is seen before presidential elections and tragedies in Washington, D.C. It was seen by White House security guards on the night before the assassination of John F. Kennedy and Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
And they knew it was the demon cat? They didn't think maybe it was just a cat?
Good question. So the cat is described as fully black and the size of an average house cat. But when you see it, it swells to the size of a giant tiger 10 feet by 10 feet. The cat would either then explode or pounce at the witness, disappearing before it managed to catch its victim. Okay. So hopefully that answers any questions you had, Maria.
Sure.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
In the 1890s, the cat is said to have inexplicably vanished when some Capitol Hill guards fired their guns at it. But one of the guards immediately had a heart attack upon seeing it. Yeah. So the last official sighting of the alleged ghost cat was during the final days of the aftermath of World War II in the 1940s. And since it has
the last not sighting.
Been seen again. Yeah. So I don't know where it's at now, but
it's in my front yard. It's the black cat that I feed every day.
Yeah. It's Skeletor, that dang cat you feed. So, I mean, I'm not fully on board with demon cat, but, you know, who knows? Leaving room in my brain and heart open for it. The next is Abigail Adams. Even though Abigail Adams is dead, misogyny isn't. Where are we going with this? Abigail Adams, the wife of President John Adams, is apparently doomed to haunt the laundry room of the White House for all of eternity. Presidents, staff members, and visitors have claimed to see her in the East Room of the White House carrying phantom clothing, arms outstretched, asking guests if they have any more.
Oh, no. That's horrifying.
Women be shopping.
Do you have any more?
Do you have any more?
I'm doing whites. Does anyone have any whites?
Yeah, apparently when she's around, you see her ghost or you can smell the scent of clean laundry and lavender.
What a bummer. Is it a ghost and you have to do fucking laundry?
Which leads me to the question, are there chores in the afterlife? I did not realize that was
apparently
a thing.
Apparently.
Would you guys rather be a ghost that had to do laundry in the afterlife or the dishes?
Oh, I'd do laundry.
Do I have a dishwasher?
No.
Yeah.
And do I have a laundry machine?
Oh, no. Yeah. Do you got to scrub with the thing, the washboard?
Dishes.
Okay. But this stuff's really caked on those dishes.
Well, you soak it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'd probably do dishes too. Yeah.
My hot neighbor is like a dad and he has a wife and two kids, but he just went down the street on a Razor scooter and his two little girls are on little bikes behind him.
That's really cute.
And I need to take a break to masturbate. No. Oh my God. That was so hot. Okay. Anyways, next is Dolly Madison, who I did a report on in fourth grade. And I'm pretty sure, as a side note, that Dolly Madison might have invented the donut.
Well, then I'm her biggest fan.
But I didn't research that again. So, Maria, if while I'm talking, you want to give that a goog.
Yeah.
So, Dolly Madison, apparently the ghost of Dolly Madison, looks over the Rose Garden. And I was thinking, like, I wonder if she, like, haunts Melania or is going to, like...
Oh, because she totally...
terrorize Melania because she tore it up. Did you find anything, Maria, on Dolly Madison?
Well, it seems like Dolly Madison is a brand. It's like a bakery brand.
No. Oh.
It's an American bakery brand owned by Hostess. They also do marketing associations with the Peanuts brand, you know, animated series. But it says that they started in 1937 and, you know, they do like Dolly Madison, like Twinkie type stuff, like Zingers, snack cakes. I don't know if the president's wife was there, Dolly Madison.
On Wikipedia, it started in 1937, although a Dolly Madison bakery appears in the 1932 movie Officer 13 and was named after Dolly Madison, the wife of President James Madison.
It seems like I can't, on Dolly Madison, the woman's page on Wikipedia, I can't see anything with the heading of, like, donut.
Well, all I know is that for when I did a project in her in fourth grade, I brought in donuts for
the class. Well, that makes sense. Because the Dolly Madison
Hostess brand is named after her.
Yeah.
I just like really got to know about this donut thing.
Okay,
like,
now they're saying something about ice cream. Dolly Madison and ice cream, the real scoop. Didn't Dolly Madison invent ice cream or was she just the first to serve it at the White House?
Oh. That's where I'm at too now.
They're saying no, 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 no.
Who introduced the Easter egg rolling on the White House?
That she could do it all. Let me tell you, dude.
Wow.
Maybe the next biopic, like the next like big Hollywood movie
should be Dolly Madison.
Yeah.
Dolly Madison, our sweetest first lady.
Okay. Oh.
You guys like where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on.
Why didn't you go further with it?
Oh, I was just going to go back on to like what the episode was, but we can continue. Because
I thought you
were
starting something. I thought you were reading something and you were like Dolly Madison.
No, that was just the title of the movie we're going to write about Dolly Madison.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, for a lifetime.
I don't see anything about donuts here.
See how she was the first person to serve ice cream in the White House.
You know what's really fun is going back as looking at like old cookbooks from like the 1700s or the 1800s.
Okay, so anyways, there's also an African-American woman in a yellow dress and fancy shoes. This woman, she's dressed really beautifully in a yellow gown, and she's allegedly supposed to be the mistress of one of the presidents with unfinished business still haunting the grounds. Now we're getting into some juicy stuff. Ooh, as we mentioned before, there were seances at the White House.
Oh, right.
If you haven't watched or listened to our seance episode with John Tenney, you should do so. Soft plug. So Abraham and Mary Todd Lincoln's son, Willie Lincoln, apparently haunts the White House, too. And he was even channeled during seances that took place there. Willie died of typhoid fever at 11 years old and has been haunting the White House ever since. Kind of like the movie First Kid Meets Casper. Also, if you think about it... earlier, Howard Taft's military aide was like, there's a ghost of a young boy here who maybe that was Willie Lincoln.
Maybe it was Typhoid Willie.
Yeah, old Typhoid Willie. That's such a horrible nickname. So after Willie Lincoln died, after old Typhoid Willie died, Mary Todd Lincoln started holding seances in the Red Room.
Oh, okay.
And interestingly enough, seances and spiritualism had its roots in the 19th century. It was common after and during the Civil War because it changed not only how like Americans understood death, but also how we mourned. Because like during the Civil War, so many soldiers were going to war and dying. And so people kind of turned to like, you know, there was the church, which is the most common method, but people started turning to like alternate methods to try to like reach their dead ones,
which
is how like the spiritualist movement kind of came off.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Mary Todd Lincoln first turned to spiritualism after her son Willie died in February of 1862. Typhoid Willie was 11 years old and died of typhoid fever. I'm afraid he's going to haunt me now. Mary Todd Lincoln was overwhelmed with grief, completely inconsolable, until she was offered some unexpected relief. She was introduced to the Lorries, who were a well-known group of mediums that were located in Georgetown. She became enamored by the mediums and the seances they held and decided to hold seances herself to try to channel Willie right there in the White House in the Red Room. She hosted as many as 8 seances, and Abe Lincoln allegedly was a guest at a couple of them.
Ooh.
After the seances, Mary Todd wrote her sister saying, "Willie lives. He comes to me every night and stands at the foot of the bed with the same sweet, adorable smile that he always had. He does not always come alone. Little Eddie," which is her son that died at age 4,
Jeez.
"is sometimes with him." So she like brought these ghosts into the house apparently through the seances.
Wow.
But it doesn't end there. And I'll post this picture because it's like absolutely insane. There is a spirit photography photo of the very alive Mary Todd Lincoln with the very dead Abraham Lincoln taken by famed spirit photographer William H. Mumler in 1872 in Boston. However, spirit photography was debunked even at that time, and Mumler was seen as a fraud, but Mary Todd Lincoln was just like really desperate to see her husband and everything. So she got the picture taken anyway and like believed it. I think like spirit photography, and we did an episode on it, but I think it's just like double, what is it called?
Exposure.
I think it's like just like double exposure. So the picture actually became super popular at the time and was circulated widely because people missed Abraham Lincoln so much. It's like this picture of Mary Todd sitting in a chair and then like ghost, because he's like, he was dead. He'd been assassinated.
Yeah.
And then it's like a ghost Abraham Lincoln like behind, like touching her shoulder. In fact, it served as a symbol to many wives that their husbands, sons, fathers, and brothers who had died during the Civil War could possibly still be with them watching from the afterlife.
Well, that's nice.
Which is so sweet. And then finally, we talked about this a little bit, but Jenna Bush really revealed some spooky stuff to Kelly Clarkson.
Was it on Kelly Clarkson's show?
It was on the Kelly Clarkson show, I think. So the daughter of George Bush, both the daughters, it's Jenna and like her twin sister or whatever. What? Right? Or like her sister? Don't they?
I think they're twins, but
they're sisters. Same thing.
Yeah.
So Barbara. They also had parents.
Barbara's
yes. The mom.
I believe it's the sister's name too.
Double Barbara. All right. Well, Jenna and Barbara reported paranormal experiences when they lived in the White House as teenagers or like their early 20s or whatever it was. So she said, "It woke us up in the middle of the night," she explained. "We had a fireplace in our room, and all of a sudden, we started hearing like 1920s piano music as clear as day coming out of the fireplace. It was so spooky that Jenna said she jumped in her sister's bed. We were both awake. The next week, we heard the same thing, but opera music," she said.
It sounds like someone was listening to music in another
Okay.
room.
That's what I was like, someone was listening and it was just traveled through the pipes, right?
Yeah.
She said that she told their like Secret Service agent, being like, "Oh my God, we heard music in our room last night." And like, he apparently was like, "Well, you should know the things that I've heard around here, like ghost wise or something like that," is what he
again
responded to
your Secret Service agent scaring you. Like the one that's supposed to protect you is like, "Well, no, this place is freaky." So I can't do a thing about it.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. So those are some of the ghosts that allegedly or not allegedly, you know, haunt the White House, believe it or not. And I mean, apparently Washington, D.C. in itself is a pretty spooky place. We are going to have an interview right now with Erin Dunn. She works with a company, DC by Foot. They do ghost tours in DC. Unfortunately, their White House ghost tour is unable to run right now because the area around the White House is closed due to COVID and probably all that Trump business. But they're hoping to bring it back in 2021. And Erin is going to answer some questions for us about everything spooky in DC.
Awesome.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Erin. Thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it.
No problem. No problem. Happy to do it.
So first, will you introduce yourself and like the company that you work for?
Yeah. So I'm Erin Dickey Dunn and I'm a tour guide at DC by Foot. I've been working for DC by Foot now for, I guess, 8 years. I am one of our part-time guides. I am also an elementary school teacher. So I teach sixth grade on the side. Well, I do this on the side. I teach sixth
grade. Do your kids know that you also do ghost tours?
Yeah. So I try to go ahead and slip that in about halfway through the year. And then they spend the rest of the year trying to con me into telling them ghost stories during class.
That's awesome. So.
You'd be the coolest teacher of all time. Like my teacher teaches sixth grade and also does ghost tours.
It gets pretty interesting, and there tends to be a lot of debates each year about paranormal spirits, if our classroom is haunted.
Oh,
I've been known
God.
To go ahead and say certain weird things happen in the classroom. When they leave.
Oh my God, wait, so now I have a whole other question. Have any of your classrooms ever been haunted?
So it's kind of hard to say. I don't think my specific classroom has been haunted,
okay.
But I do think I have been in some schools where some weird things have been going on. I'm classically one of those teachers who stays really late.
Yeah.
Before I had my daughter, I was usually like one of the last people to leave the building.
Wow.
And those hallways get very creepy and you start to hear certain things. And
oh my
God. Is it an old school?
1950s. So there are certain parts of the building,
yeah,
like a little bit older, but not like some other parts, not like some other schools that have built like in 1918 or anything.
But listen,
that.
Haunted's haunted. Doesn't matter if it's new haunted or old haunted. Ghost to ghost. So how did you get into ghost tours? Like, how does one get into that business?
Well, I actually got into it because of my best friend. My best friend is a full-time
guide with DC.
And she's a ghost. Surprise. No. my best friend and I went to college together, moved up here to DC. I started teaching. And about a year in, I was looking for something to do in my spare time. And she said, hey, you really love history. You're a great storyteller. You should come try and do some tours with us. And
oh my God.
The Ghosts of Georgetown tour that we do kind of landed in my lap. You know, I had a really fun time with it and I love telling a good story and I love working in dramatic pauses and really kind of feeling the environment and the vibe of the moment. And it just stuck and I kept on doing it. And I've taken all kinds of people on ghost tours, my family, different teachers. We've done happy hours. Any celebs
go on your ghost tours?
Yeah. So,
can you tell?
So one celebrity, I always forget his name, but it's one of those faces. Like you've seen him in a ton of stuff.
Like a character actor.
Yeah. Like I know him from that Aaron Sorkin movie, The American President. Yeah, like I've seen him
Jeff Daniels
in there. No, I wish. but yeah, so I've had them on there. I've seen, going along with today, I saw John Kerry. He lives like about a block away from where our tour route
oh my God.
Is in Georgetown. And I would see him a couple of times out walking his dog and he would kind of listen into the story.
That's so cool. That's amazing. So I guess like to that effect, your route and what it is you do, can you tell us a little bit about like the haunted history of DC or like what the most prominent haunted places are?
Yeah. So we actually do a couple of different ghost tours. Our main one is our Ghost of Georgetown tour.
Yeah.
And that starts at the oldest structure in all of Washington, D.C., this place called Old Stone House. And Old Stone House has had multiple stories about it throughout the years. It's now a national park, so people can go in during non-pandemic times, can go in free of charge. And there have been a lot of people who've experienced things up on the top floor who said that they have felt someone standing behind them when no one is there, particularly women who are left alone on the top floor.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And they have not only felt people behind them, but there have been other reports of people like kind of feeling pressure on their chest and feeling like that shortness breath. The way I've heard it described is kind of that fight or flight reflex kicking in, but not really knowing why it has kicked in.
Oh, wow. Just like an immediate sense of fear when you're up there.
Yeah. So we have Old Stone House, which, like I said, has multiple stories. And then we kind of wind back through the neighborhood. And then we have to end at the Exorcist stairs near Georgetown University. So
those the movie The Exorcist, the set was allegedly like haunted, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of great stories coming out of the filming of that movie, and a lot of strange things happen, including various pieces of set breaking, stunt equipment breaking. It was notorious for having actors and actresses get injured in the film, including Ellen Burstyn. There is this one part of the film where she goes up to her daughter, who's played by Linda Blair, and her daughter, who's possessed, slaps her and sends her flying across the room. And Ellen Burstyn lets out this gut-wrenching scream, and that's because she had actually fractured her back in that scene.
Really?
Holy shit.
Now, the harness that they were kind of using to pull her across the room to a padded part of the room, well, it broke. Oh. And so she flew right into a dresser.
Oh my God.
And they used that footage in the film.
Oh, yeah.
So fucked up.
the best take. Yeah. We talked about also like The Exorcist. That movie is based on a real exorcism, I think, of that like boy. I think like I can't remember his name, but I think it's based on a real exorcism.
Yeah. So they refer, they gave that boy kind of a moniker for his name, Roland.
Oh.
That's how they typically referred to him. And he lived in Maryland, had a lot of strange things happen to him. In some reports, it kind of correlated with his aunt passing away and him trying to reach her through means of a Ouija board. And then a lot of strange things started happening, and his mother became convinced that he was somehow possessed, or that there were spirits that were around him, and they couldn't find him help in this area. So eventually he ends up getting sent away to his cousins in St. Louis. Oh, and it's there he apparently goes through an exorcism.
Oh, Jesus. Nice. This is why you shouldn't mess with Ouija boards.
Yeah. Yes.
Which we've done. So tell me a little bit what you know about like the White House specifically being haunted and like anything that's happened there.
Yeah. So one of our other tours is our White House ghost tour.
Yeah.
And it's widely accepted in Washington, D.C. that the White House is probably the most haunted place in all of Washington, D.C.
Oh, my God.
It has this reputation on a national stage as well as in our community. Now, of course, being in Washington, typically a lot of our ghost stories have to do with government buildings,
yeah.
have to do with, you know, this spirit shows up when something bad is happening in our country or when misfortune is right around the corner. That's where you'll hear with yeah. a lot of our ghost stories. But our favorite ghost here in Washington, D.C. is President Abraham Lincoln.
Hell yeah.
And he's probably the most sighted ghost at the White House.
That's so crazy. What do you know about these, if anything, about the seances that they held at the White House?
So Mary Todd Lincoln was a spiritualist, as it's widely known. After she loses her son Willie in 1862, she widely reaches out for clairvoyance and people to perform seances so that she can go ahead and contact her son. She did go ahead and hold seances in the White House, and typically held in the Red Room.
Oh my God, that's weird, because The Shining, oh my God, Red Room, oh my God. Okay, like The Shining, Red Room, and then murder, and then it's in the Red Room.
Red rum. I think they're saying red rum.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we can.
But then what does The Shining have to do with it?
Because in The Shining, they say red room, and it just like sounds kind of like Red Room, and then seance and like murder. I don't know. Okay, sorry, keep going.
I get it. I get it, Allie. I thought it was good. I thought it was a good thing to say.
Thank you.
If you pull up pictures of it, it really is kind of a creepy room once you find out that there have been seances in there, because it's very visceral. It's a bright, aggressive red. There are a lot of people at the time who believe that the clairvoyants that Mary Todd Lincoln was talking to were frauds.
Yeah.
And so there were some people who thought that they were just trying to take advantage of her. But Lincoln was one to go ahead and indulge his wife's whims, because he really felt like they could possibly help give her a little bit of comfort in this time. She was so convinced after some of these seances that she wrote her sister talking about how Willie lives and how she has seen him at the end of her bed. In the White House. These letters can be pretty heartbreaking, but there is a story that at one of the seances she attended in Georgetown, Lincoln happened to come with her, and a grand piano was flipped over during that seance.
Holy shnikes.
That's heavy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Heavy.
Do you know who, like, obviously it was her and the medium, but like, do you know who else attended these seances? Was it like her friends, or who was it?
So most likely it would have been some of the people who were in her close inner circle. You know, usually when you hear them described, you hear that there were a few people there, but they don't usually specifically list the names.
Yeah.
She didn't have a lot of friends in Washington.
Yeah.
She was not widely liked by Washington society. So chances are it was probably some of those figures who kind of were close to her throughout her time in the White House, who she really depended on and confided in.
Well, I can imagine not being like, she was like a weirdo who, like, I mean, I like seances, but like for then it was probably weird that she was like a first lady who was like holding seances in the White House. I can imagine how that would.
Yeah.
I mean, like, imagine if, like, Michelle Obama was, like, holding seances in the White House.
That would be amazing. Would be
like, that's kind of weird,
that
you know?
That would be awesome.
I mean, we would like it, but, like, some people I imagine would be like, that's a little off.
Can I ask a question, Allie?
Yeah, please do, because I'm almost out.
Have you heard the stories of Andrew Jackson walking the halls? Yeah. And yes. Do you know why he's doing that? Like, why is he freaking out all the time?
So, well, Andrew Jackson, just his personality was very gruff and aggressive, and he didn't really like a lot of people. And usually what you hear with Andrew Jackson's spirit is that he's constantly cursing. Yeah. He's constantly saying swear words. And so that gets a lot of people going. Mary Todd Lincoln was actually someone who said that she swore that Andrew Jackson was haunting the White House and that she had heard him swearing up a storm. Typically, wow. He's around the Rose Room. And the Rose Room used to be his bedroom. So It could be that that was a common area that he was typically in and that's where he is drawn to from the spirit world. I've heard some people say that he's kind of a prankster like spirit. So he might be just trying to have some fun with some people. Yeah.
I wonder what swear word he's using. Probably all of them.
Blast.
Darn.
gosh darn it heck.
Oh, I have a question about Dolly Madison. She looks over the rose garden that she planted. Yeah. And she protects it apparently.
Yeah, so it was during the Wilson administration that there was a project where they were going to go ahead and revamp part of the Rose Garden. And the story goes that workers went out there, but then they came right back because they said that there was an angry woman screaming at them to get out of the Rose Garden.
And so
that's attributed to Dolly Madison. Dolly Madison also haunts a couple of other buildings near the White House. We have the Dolly Madison House, which is right off of Lafayette Square Park, right on the north side of the White House. It's this yellow house that she lived in. There are some people who say that she haunts the house and that she kind of looks out over Lafayette Square Park.
Wow.
Famously, during the Madison administration, there was also the British set fire to the White House and it burned down. And while the White House was being rebuilt, the Madison stayed at this place called the Octagon House, which is just a couple blocks away from the White House. And there are people who say that the constant smell of lavender and lilacs in the Octagon House supposed to signify that Dolly Madison is near, that her spirit is near.
I also heard that, who was it? Abigail Adams, the laundry ghost, always carrying laundry ghost. That she also has like the scent of lavender or like clean clothing.
Yeah. So Abigail Adams, the scent of freshly done laundry. When the Adams family moved into
the White House,
exactly. When the Adams family moved into the White House, only part of the White House was actually done.
Oh.
And what is now the East State Room was still being constructed. So that's where Abigail Adams would hang up her laundry to dry. And oftentimes this task, even though she had servants helping her, she had people helping her, the laundry tended to default to her. And so she was very angry getting her laundry down. And so there are people who say that they have seen her spirit angrily walking into the East State Room with her basket of laundry and the scent of freshly done laundry.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That is so crazy. I have a question that's unrelated. Do you know if Dolly Madison invented the donut?
Because apparently she introduced ice cream to the White House.
Okay. I have heard the ice cream story.
Okay.
Or I have heard that about ice cream.
We just went on a weird Dolly tangent earlier and we just like couldn't figure it. We knew that she had something to do with sweets, but we didn't know what.
Because there's like a Dolly Madison, like, part of the Hostess company, apparently. It's named after her.
Well, maybe the only thing I can kind of think of is, she was really the first lady to be known as like a great party thrower and a great hostess.
Oh, okay.
In the White House. And she was legendary for hosting parties. In fact, when she moved back to DC and retired in that little yellow house off of Lafayette Square Park, people would stop by her home in droves, and she would open up her home because she was just so famous for her hospitality. And then they would go to the White House, but they would stop by her home first.
So maybe that's what it is. Maybe she was such a hostess and then hostess.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There it is. Wow. And I will say that donuts did originate by Dutch settlers in New York.
Okay.
So I think that maybe...
I should make an amends to my fourth grade class.
Well, but I think what you did was brought in Dolly Madison baked treats, which is like a donut.
Yeah, and I'm just remembering it. Aaron, to catch you up. In fourth grade, I did a report on Dolly Madison, and I remember bringing in donuts. In my memory, I thought that Dolly Madison invented the donut. Now, looking back, I probably just brought in Dolly Madison brand donuts and talked about how she was under the hostess umbrella. The more you know. Okay. Aaron, if people want to find you or your company, where can they reach you?
So if you just go to Free Tours by Foot, you can visit us at our website. We're also on Instagram and we are on Twitter, and you can reach us through social media and our website. We do also run tours in other cities such as New York City, New Orleans, Charleston. And so we definitely have way more ghost tours than just in Washington, D.C.
Awesome. Cool. Aaron, thank you so, so much. And good luck teaching during this weird pandemic time. Thank you for thank you for doing the Lord's work.
Oh, thanks.
Bye. Have a good one.
Bye. Thank you, Aaron.
We also have friend of the pod and king of the Discord, Daniel Tana. He is pretty knowledgeable about haunted DC, and he is going to tell us a little bit about everything that he knows about the White House being haunted, Washington, DC being haunted, and everything spooky. So he sent us kind of just like a story and some clips about everything that he knows. We're super lucky. Thank you, Daniel. Obviously, you are a fan and pod favorite.
He actually sent us quite a few stories. So we're going to play one for this episode, and then we're going to save the rest for a future bonus episode.
So here is Daniel giving us the Haunted Washington scoop.
Hey, web crawlers. This is Daniel Tana. Longtime listener. Sorry, never mind. Anyways, so the first place I wanted to talk about is the Octagon, which is one of, if not the, it has the reputation as being one of, if not the most haunted places in DC. It is sort of right around the corner from the White House, like a couple blocks away on New York Avenue. It has a lot of legends associated with it. And so I used to work for an organization that had an historic preservation easement on that property. And so I would go there for annual easement inspections. And after I left that job and felt like it was no longer unprofessional to do so, I asked one of the docents there about the ghost stories because I had always been curious about it, but didn't want to, like, you know, get fired for asking about it. So there are several different legends there. And when I asked her about this in 2015, I think, she told me that their policy is that they don't deny the idea that there could be ghosts, but they just try to provide as much evidence as they can so that people can draw their own conclusions. And then she gave me this document from 1982 where they had an intern that did just this extensive research into the history of ghost stories there and, you know, was able to trace most of their legends back to a specific newspaper article or something like that so that they could date them. And she went on to tell me that the biggest two stories, which are about the owners, his name was, I think, John Talo, Colonel Talo, falling down the stairs and all that stuff, are not true and are kind of demonstrably false. And there's not only no evidence for them actually happening, but there's evidence that contradicts that they could have happened in the way that was described. So I'll get into those first because it's kind of a wet blanket moment as a historian to debunk those ones, which I think Allie mentioned on the Patreon episode. Basically, the story is that two of his Colonel Taylor's daughters are said to haunt the Octagon. The first one died right before the War of 1812. She was in a relationship with a British officer that was stationed in D.C., and she got in an argument with her father, Colonel Taylor. She turned in anger to go down the main staircase in the building, and she either fell down the stairs or over the railing, and she died. People supposedly see her specter crumpled on the floor or on the stairs, and sometimes it just looks like a candle light floating up the staircase. And the other one is supposed to have occurred around 1817 or shortly thereafter. another one of the colonel's daughters had eloped with a young man and made her dad really angry. They got in an argument and they were on the third floor landing, and she turned around to go down the stairs and fell to her death down the stairs or over the railing. And her ghost is supposed to haunt the third floor landing. So there is no evidence of these stories. Like, there's nothing in the records before 1908 that could be found. And there's also evidence that indicates that none of the Talos daughters actually died in the Octagon. So the only ones that were even like remotely close in age, one died in 1800 at the age of 1 month. And so that couldn't have been her. She never lived there. Another one named Rebecca died in 1815, which is pretty close, at the age of 18. But she died of an illness. And at that time, the Talos weren't living in the Octagon. It was being rented out by President Madison, and they were living in Richmond County, Virginia, in their estate that's called Mount Airy. And then the next one was Elizabeth Taylor, who died in 1832 at the age of 26. And she did die in Washington, D.C., but not at the Octagon House. She and at the time of her death, her father had already been dead for several years. So it couldn't have been her either. And then the remaining four daughters that they had all died over the age of 38, and they were all they all died well after the death of their father. So the next legend from the Octagon House, which I will not be debunking, and all the rest of the ones that I'll talk about have some historical evidence, so no more wet blanket historian stuff. This one is just known as the bells. The servant bells in the house are known to ring on their own. So these are the bells that, like, if you've ever watched Downton Abbey or whatever, you know, you could ring a little thing in your room and there were a series of wires that ran through the wall or whatever. And so down in the servant's kitchen, a bell would ring and they would know who was ringing it and they would know who to go check in on. And so the Octagon has this legend that the service bells will just start violently and unexplained ringing. Virginia Taylor Lewis, who was a granddaughter of Colonel John Taylor III, who was who the house was built for, wrote about this legend in an unpublished like manuscript of hers. But the next one is about this ghost watch, not like a timepiece that's haunted, but in 1888, 12 men decided to spend the night in the house in order to prove the legends wrong. So there was this firsthand account that was printed in a local newspaper and then was subsequently quoted or paraphrased in articles printed in 1892, 1934, 1941, 1950, and 1969. Nice. The hours wore quietly on. The party were dispersed from garret to cellar. At the hour of midnight, as I and two others were crossing the threshold of a room on the second floor, three feminine shrieks rose from the center of the room. Aghast, we stood. From all quarters, the party rushed. And then I am jumping ahead to another section. Too brave to desert, yet cowards at heart, we watched the gray light of morning dawn, and each man of us thanked God his night among ghosts was past. After those screams, our band was closely knit together. Collectively, we listened through the waning hours of night to the clanking of sabers and tramping of footfalls. And this is from the Taylor Mansion, source unknown, it says, but it does have a date on the top of it, which is June 12, 1892. The next ghost at the Octagon is the Man in Black. The first sighting of this ghost was by a doctor who visited the Octagon on a house call. And since then, this ghost seems to have been exclusively by the maintenance men who work in the house at night. And I think the legend is that he's never been seen by a woman at all. So here's a little more detail about that doctor's account. And this is all being quoted. A doctor who made a house call at the Octagon had a strange encounter on the stairway. Caretaker James Cypress had summoned the physician for his ailing wife. The doctor was preparing to leave when he mustered up enough courage to ask Cypress if there was a costume party going on that evening. "No, there isn't," Cypress replied. The doctor looked perplexed and told him of encountering a man on the stairs just a few moments before who had been dressed in a military uniform of the early 1800s. And then there are two accounts. One is from 1970s. A maintenance man named Walter Rush was working there late one night vacuuming the stairs between the first and second floor and saw a man wearing dark black clothing from approximately the late 19th century and a tall hat walking up the stairs. And then he tipped his hat to the maintenance man and continued past him and disappear. And then in 1981, there was another maintenance man named Myron who was on the second floor landing one night, heard a noise on the first floor, kind of looked over the handrail and saw a man dressed in black walking through the stair hall. So that's terrifying.
Well, Ghosts. Ghosts, am I right?
Ghosts, guys.
Ghosts, am I right? This is what happens when you record the outro separate. So if you know any stories about, you know, the White House being haunted or any important monuments near you being haunted, please let us know. Melissa, where can people reach us?
You can email us at webcrawlerspod@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at webcrawlerspod.
Yes. And please, if you want access to videos of all our podcast episodes, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/webcrawlers, baby. Anyways, I am Allie Siegel.
I am Melissa Hostess with the mostest.
And I'm Maria Dolly Madison Blasucci.
Yeah, you are. Bye.
Bye.
An Erios original.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.